Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
How long has it been that you've been in custody there?
Today makes 81 days that I've been in the custody of the Albemarle Charlottesville Regional Jail. And the only reason that I've been in here is because my accusers lied. And on Thursday, we had that hearing. And my accusers were basically laughed out of the courtroom by the judge. It was so obvious that they were lying.
Wow.
That they dropped the two charges that I was accused of hurting them.
Oh.
They're still charging me with a class 3 felony, claiming that basically when I pepper sprayed the one guy, which was in self-defense, they're acting as though I had pulled the pin on a tear gas grenade and thrown it into a crowd.
Now, for listeners that may not be familiar, don't know the name offhand, it was this August when you, Chris, you left your home in Keene, New Hampshire, and you traveled down to Charlottesville, Virginia, where you engaged in a protest with some members of the alt-right. Now, whether those members are white nationalists, racists, or just people on the alt-right, there was probably a mix of all of those groups in there. You yourself are an admitted racist, and that's the reason why we kicked you off of Free Talk Live a couple of years ago, because you were a former co-host.
I'm a racist, I'm a white nationalist, and I can't wait to get back to Keene so we can have the crying Nazi and the redneck Muslim all in the same place. It's going to be one quite the cast of characters. The Colbert Report can't get back to Keene fast enough.
So the two charges that were dropped were what? What did they drop, and what's the one that remains?
Malicious injury by caustic agent or explosive. They were saying that when I pepper sprayed this guy, that I also pepper sprayed these other people. Now, what actually happened was these people said they smelled pepper spray or something like that during this riot that they initiated against us. And since they smelled pepper spray and then they saw a picture of me pepper spraying on someone on social media, they said that I attacked them with my pepper spray, which was nonsense. And there's video of the entire thing, and they were proven to be liars. And so, and the other problem with it is that the prosecutor in this case, Robert Tracy, T-R-A-C-I-I, is basically some social justice warrior. He's like a disaffected fan of the radical agenda who listens to every episode and hates me like his life depends on it.
So the one charge they have left for you is just you pressed a button on a pepper spray device, not necessarily even that it did damage to another human being. What's the exact charge they're hitting you with there?
Well, the person that I did pepper spray, they have identified him, but he won't come forward and press charges because he knows that he's a violent criminal who attacked somebody and was about to attack me.
Good evening, Ian, Mark, and Will. How are you?
It was good until you called, Scott. Go ahead.
God.
Happy Veterans Day to everyone, and I want to say that I admire Christopher Cantwell. He's my hero. I see a mirror image in him, a lot of things that I see. And
well, the difference is Chris Cantwell actually gets out of the house. You know, he may have the same level of hate in his heart as you do, but you know, at least he's not living with his mom.
I'm glad you mentioned that. My dad is a veteran. He was a veteran. He died 3 months ago. And talking about my mom, she's in a wheelchair. I don't say this to get a sob story. I put my cards on the table so you know where I'm coming from. I want to thank the veterans out there, that those that are lucky to be alive, for fighting for America, their service to America, because without that, we would not...
Hold on. I thought you've called recently and said that you hate America and that, you know, the government is corrupt.
Yes, I do hate America, but let me finish. Just because I hate America does not mean that I have to take it out on these poor veterans. They've been duped and brainwashed. They've taken their marching orders. They end up at, like, Walter Reed Army Hospital, amputees, blinded, paralyzed, all dupes of this government.
Years and years ago, I used to work at Outback Steakhouse, and there was a fry cook there, and he was going to college. He was working his way through college after doing 7 years in the Navy, where he was taking apart billion-dollar airplanes and putting them back together on aircraft carriers. But after he got out of the military, this, like, when you get out of the military, everybody's going to want to hire you thing that they sold him.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go to college to learn how to take, because his military credentials didn't mean jack. In the marketplace. They were like, no, you need to go to college and get a bachelor's degree.
That's not an uncommon story.
Yeah, and no. He went specifically because he thought that they would teach him how to work on these planes, and that when he got out, that would be it. And he could give, like, room and board and all this stuff, and it was peacetime back then. You know, there was no Iraq. You know, it's pre-9/11, and no.
You know, I do wonder what the military would be like. Would it be an upgrade? And it seems like it would be if people could serve, work for the military at their pleasure.
I first heard you talking about Bitcoin, I'm going to say, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, sure.
And if I had taken your advice, I'd be very well to do now.
Yes, that's true for a lot of people.
There's a lot of people saying that. Yeah.
Did you ever get any at all, any Bitcoin?
I still have not. I really don't quite understand it.
Yep.
I sent $100 to an outfit in California that was supposed to buy me some Bitcoin, and somehow they just swindled me.
Yeah,
they
just it sounds that way.
There's a lot of hustlers in the Bitcoin space.
There's a lot of scam. I mean, it's money. I mean, whenever you're dealing with money that isn't exactly the easiest to trace. I mean, it is traceable if you know what you're doing. But whenever you're dealing with money, you're going to get some hustlers. You're going to get some scam artists. So you got to buyer beware big time, especially when you're getting into something you don't really understand. As long as the bullets aren't flying, the bombs aren't going off, then it's, you know, hey, everybody's bellying up to the taxpayer trough and they're getting their military welfare, which is, you know, basically what the military is, right? It's a Republican welfare program.
That's what they call it.
Well, of course, there's Democrats in the military as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
it's
Vietnam
a bipartisan
started
welfare
by a Democrat.
Program.
We were led into Vietnam by a Democratic regime.
What we've found is many of the voters in the military are much more likely to vote Libertarian. They were Ron Paul
fans.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they want someone who's not got an itchy trigger finger to send them to die for no reason whatsoever.
Well, most of them know that these wars are futile, right? There's the sort of the mystique of the military when you're outside of it, right? When you're growing up as a young man, mostly. I mean, yes, there's women in there now, but when you're growing up, there's all these movies.
And a third of them have been raped.
And at least a third of them. There's all these militaristic movies that glorify, you know, war and all that. And then, of course, a lot of young men are just transfixed by that, and they believe what they see is going to be their reality if they join up, and then the reality is it's actually really boring in a lot of cases in the military.
Hurry up and wait, or
actually deadly.
I was a vet, and during the Vietnam time, I didn't actually go and get shot at, but you know, I was there, got the National Vet Medal and whatnot. But
okay,
just listening, and you know, the military's, you know, like you were talking about a guy that learned to fly and stuff and then had to go to school, you know, and it really is on-the-job training of anything in the military. I mean, they, you know, they offer, you know, college. I mean, that's how it is. And then you go to college and then you've had the training and the school. Now, there's a few things that are, you know, it's not just, you know,
People who've called us to say that they felt like they were lied to, that they were told.
Well, everybody was, but it's a joke. I mean, that's not, I would tell you 80%. It's a joke to 80% of people probably.
When you say it's a joke, what do you mean by that?
Recruiters lie to everybody. They always have.
It's called the big green one. They have a word for it. It's a joke. That's what he means by it's a joke. Yeah. Like, it's a joke among members of the military.
Everybody knows that.
Before you go in.
If you go in and you don't know that they're promising you the sky, you know.
Well, I mean, they are talking to 17 and 18-year-olds here. This is the sad truth that people need to understand on Veterans Day. Veterans don't need your thanks. They need the government to do what they said they were going to do in the first place. And the government's never going
to
do what it says it's going
to
do because it's an organization that doesn't have to do that.
Right.
Think about it. When does the government do what it says it's going to do?
Well, these are people that they literally, okay, this literally was a policy. It was a policy, written policy, that what you do is these guys, you send them to Iraq, they see horrible, horrible things. Now they are mentally and emotionally damaged. You send them to the Navy head shrinker, and the Navy head shrinker would then say, oh, well, you have a personality disorder. And then they would.
We don't cover that.
No. A personality disorder is something that you've always had. and therefore it's something that you didn't declare when you put your application in, which nullifies any contractual obligation that we have to help you.
Right. They don't cover it.
You're screwed.
Yeah. Mm.
No,
they,
no.
They call now it pre-existing.
They boot you out of the military. You lose your pension.
Mm-hmm.
You lose all of your medical care.
And you don't get the schooling that they promised you.
You lose everything. Yep. And it was a policy to save money on the budget.
I wanted to talk about Bitcoin.
Sure.
You know, the very first time I heard about it was actually through you guys this spring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started doing the research, and I'm like, you know, and you start to go crazy a little bit, like, you don't know where to start, this and that. And so, basically, like, in the last 2 weeks, I bought my first Bitcoin.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's you guys I have to thank for that. But I was also that girl that I ended up purchasing some like really expensive information, and I'm not going
to. It's a little hard to. It's I don't know if you're on a speakerphone or you're not talking directly into your phone, but it was a little hard to hear you there. Could you say that again?
Oh, okay. All right. I was on speaker because it's. Yeah. Okay,
oh, thank you. That's much better.
Yeah. So I had bought some, like I signed up for some. It was kind of expensive information, and I don't want to say how much I paid for it, but I just felt like I had to do that so that. Because when I, the more
Wait.
Oh. She signed up for a Bitcoin class.
You signed up for what kind of information?
I don't want to tell you, but it was one of those sites that, you know, pay this much and we'll give you this kind of information,
like,
you know, and.
But what kind of information? I mean, you don't have to tell me exactly, you don't have to tell me exactly what the class was or the website or whatever, but what kind of information would you be paying for about Bitcoin?
Okay, so what I paid for, the information I got is basically how to buy Bitcoin.
A year and a half ago or so, your home and studio was raided and you were robbed by some people from the federal government. I was wondering what happened to that and if you've heard anything since then.
We don't talk about it because we're afraid that they might have come back at some point. Nothing. I mean,
no news is good news.
Nothing.
as far as I can tell. I mean, it's not good that they still have 50 electronic devices that they 53
thousands of dollars worth of computing devices
probably
that
over,
they took
yeah,
for us,
$10,000,
which are probably now all junk and full of spam bots that you know we'll never use for anything.
Who knows if we're ever going to see any of that equipment again, because as far as I can tell, they can just keep an investigation open for as long as they want. So, you know, there's no statute of limitations on, hey, you guys, are you done investigating yet? No? Oh, okay. I guess we'll just keep waiting. So,
and as an IT professional, I would never trust equipment that came back from the federal government again. I would just sell it or trash it or something.
The Daily Beast has reported, according to ZeroHedge.com, on newly unsealed documents that show the FBI blindly hacked into computers in Russia, China, and Iran during a wide-ranging investigation that led to the bust of a global child pornography operation and the liberation of sexual abuse victims. During a hacking operation in which U.S. authorities broke into thousands of computers around the world to investigate child pornography, the FBI has hacked a number of targets in Russia, China, and Iran. The news signals the bold future of policing on the so-called dark web, where investigators are increasingly deploying malware without first knowing which country their suspect is located in. Legal experts and commentators say the approach of blindly kicking down digital doors in countries not allied with the United States could lead to geopolitical fallout. Now, just to be clear, what they did here was a magistrate judge in Virginia, I believe it was, authorized the FBI to just go ahead and put hacking software on everybody's computer that connects to this website that the FBI was operating, this child pornography website called Playpen. And
you know, to be clear, the Federal Bureau of Investigation was distributing child pornography.
That's correct. Ostensibly to catch child pornographers. In that particular case, the person who was charged challenged the warrant itself. They challenged they said, hey, not only were you going to challenge the warrant, but since you're going to use this evidence against us, well, then you need to go ahead as part of discovery and show us the program. You're saying you used this network investigative technique. Well, as part of the discovery process where you have to show us your evidence in the case, we want you to show us the program. We want to be able to read the code. We want to see what it was that you put on the client's computer.
If you get a speeding ticket, you're allowed to see the, you know, the
certification for the radar.
The certification for the radar. If you, you know, you're facing charges because of fingerprints, you're allowed to see what process they went through. You're allowed to see this stuff. This is how court works.
But you weren't if you were the guy in this case, because the FBI basically told the court, no, we don't want to show that. And so the judge said, the judge had another hearing and let them make their argument as to why he shouldn't order the defense to be given the full, you know, information on this hacking tool. And the government made their argument behind closed doors, mind you. And so presumably the argument was like, well, we need this tool to catch more perverts or, you know, terrorists or whatever it was that they, you know, want to use this tool for again in the future.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
The FBI hacked over 8,000 computers in 120 countries, including across South America, Europe, and the United States. It has led to hundreds of arrests, as well as identification and rescue, they claim, of hundreds of victims of child abuse, according to the FBI's own figures. However, something the FBI has kept quiet is that the Bureau also hacked computers in countries that have a particularly volatile relationship with the U.S., especially around issues of malicious hacking, including Russia, Iran, and China. Now, the FBI identifies or justifies these types of intrusions as so-called necessary when foreign law enforcement is slow to cooperate or not receptive to the intelligence presented. FBI Special Agent Daniel Alfin said during testimony in a related case, quote, some foreign countries are very slow to act on the information that they receive because it has to go through official diplomatic channels, unquote. Although it's unlikely that Germany or the UK, let alone Russia or Iran, would readily excuse evidence of cyber intrusions by the United States should they discover it. So is this an international incident that we're talking about here? Is this a criminal act on the part of the FBI? Probably not, but it's probably not going to be helpful.
It is a criminal act on the part of the FBI, but it won't be treated
they won't be prosecuted.
No, nothing will happen to the FBI. I mean,
the Federal Bureau
of
Investigations distributed hundreds of thousands of images of child pornography.
The very act they say is a crime.
It's my belief that veterans really don't need your thanks. They need the government to do what it said it was going to do in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Going on here from it's BostonGlobe.com. This is what the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs says a four-star hospital looks like. This hospital got four stars. One operating room's been abandoned since last October because exterminators couldn't get rid of the flies. Doctors had to cancel surgeries in another OR last month after they discovered what appeared to be rust or blood on two sets of surgical instruments that were supposedly sterile. This has been a few months. By the way, this is the best story I could come up with. There are new aspects to the story, but nothing that's really sort of as disgusting as maggots in your operating room.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Maggots anywhere. Yeah. Always just going to set you off.
Yeah, I'm thinking that they're not using them to eat out the gangrenous skin or something. So yeah, thousands of patients, including some with life-threatening conditions, struggle to get any care at all because the program for setting up appointments with outside specialists has broken down.
If you talk to the representatives and the senators, surely they'll tell you how much they care about the military veterans. Well, maybe they really don't, but they're going to act like they care. They're going to be like, we're going to do what it takes. We're going to get in there. We're going to clean out this hospital. We're going to spend millions of dollars. We're going to remodel it. We're going to hire new bureaucrats. And then they act like they're doing something, act like they're actually having an effect. And sure enough, you can see, look, they spent a bunch of money. They cleaned up. They built a new, maybe they even tore the old one down, built a new one. Of course, that's shiny when it's brand new, but then give it another decade and see, you know, how the bureaucracy that has no incentive to actually care ends up treating that particular piece of property and the people within it. Because once it's all shiny and new, the news media just like, looks away. They go find some other story to go look at. Oh, they changed a bureaucrat. They changed the head of the hospital out. That's going to change everything. But the thing that doesn't change is the incentives or the lack of the incentives that are there. So it's not that some bureaucrats don't want to help. I'm sure a lot of them really do want to help, like some of the nurses or the doctors in that organization. But many of them are hamstrung by bureaucracy and all of the rules that are involved and how frustrating and difficult it must be to work within a bureaucracy like that.
You're talking about how bad the VA hospitals are. I'll tell you right now, the one here in Indiana, the Brown and Bush VA Medical Center, is one of the top ones listed. They whiteboard every week to see how they can improve things. They've joined with IU Medical Center and Methodist Hospital. There's doctors from both of those at the VA assisting in getting patients seen quicker.
Those things are true about this one, too. This was a four-star hospital that that was in Manchester that had these problems with the maggots in the operating room. And the.
You're making it sound like every one of them's bad, and you're ragging on the military, telling people not to join.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, definitely telling people not to join the military.
Yeah, I would absolutely say that because
that's one of the stupidest things you could ever say.
No, it's not. It's what's stupid is to go and do what politicians tell you. What's stupid is to blindly follow the order of a bunch of politicians. What kind of a sucker would do that?
Tell me about the freedoms that those poor guys that lost their lives a couple weeks ago in Niger. What freedom of mine are they defending in Niger right now? What are my freedoms doing in Niger that they need to be defended in Niger? Why are we sending...
That's a lot of questions.
In Niger, you have ISIS. And ISIS likes to come here. Oh, it ain't the government I sent praises of. It's the military.
The government isn't the military?
The military is
the government
armed...
doesn't control every aspect of the military. They have a hand in it, yes. But they do not cover the everyday-to-day business of it.
The military is the armed enforcement of government.
How's the military get its funding?
I had two, out of 24 years, I had two rocket commanders.
Two what?
Only two.
Two what?
Two rocket commanders.
Rotten
out
commanders.
Of the rest of it, I had great commanders.
Good for you. How's the military get its funding, sir? How does it get funded?
You're the one to talk about money. I'm talking about how they take care of the people.
I'm asking you. You said the government's involved. You said the government's got a hand in the military. And I'm telling you, the military is a government bureaucracy from top to bottom. How do they get their funding?
They get it through the government, but they do not run the day-to-day.
Where does the government get the funding to fund the military?
You're not even listening.
I listened to what you said.
I just want to talk about money.
Well,
yeah. I want to know where the money comes from. Where does it come from?
It's pretty obvious that the military is a government agency.
Well, he's denying it. The taxpayer.
He knows.
Right.
He knows it's a government agency. But
the
he's
very
saying
taxpayers
that there's a separation.
Who are threatened with prison if they
but
don't
they
pay
do not
their taxes,
control
right?
The day to day.
The very same taxpayers who are threatened with a prison cell if they don't pay into the system. Isn't that right?
I've had family members who were veterans, and their VA experience. And the VA experience with a lot of people I've met over the years, who I'm talking from World War II on until today, has been, you know, it's a flawed system. It always has been a flawed system. It's never been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is you guys were talking about why do we have to go fight somewhere else? You know, we have countries that call on us for aid a lot of times. You know this. I mean, anybody that studies any kind of diplomacy or, you know, our foreign policy understands that sometimes our military gets involved in small countries. Somalia was a perfect example.
Well, I don't understand it. And here's why I don't understand it. The U.S. government originally was founded to create no entangling alliances with other countries. They weren't supposed to get involved with those situations.
Guys, honestly, that's because of the whole Teddy Roosevelt mentality. Speak softly, carry a big stick. The military happens to be our extension of our government, which we project power throughout the world. You park an aircraft carrier off a country that's got some issues, and suddenly the issues disappear.
In many cases, that's the case, yes. The United States has shown the propensity to do that. But I would ask you this. Why is it the
I'm sorry, but that's the way our government works. And
I understand
like
that's
it,
the way
Canada's
our government works.
It's a great place this time of year.
If you don't like it,
pay a visit, stay there for a while.
I've been involved in the Veterans Administration as a patient since 2000. I started having issues from the Gulf War. Mm. one thing you have to remember with anything, even private care, is your ability to advocate for yourself. I've always been able to advocate for myself. Unfortunately, my brother, who I served with, passed away 2 years to suicide.
No, I'm sorry
to
hear
that. He was involved in the VA. He had back surgery, which did not go well, and they put him on painkillers for a number of years. And when it became an epidemic, the VA started weaning people off. Unfortunately, he was addicted at that point, and about 2 years after they took him off the painkillers, he shot himself in the heart.
Jeez.
And I was the one who found him in his hotel room.
Oh, God, wow. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Oh, my God.
Also, I want to let you guys know, I was involved in the Gulf War. I lost a cousin in 9/11. I'm from Connecticut, but I'm living in Michigan now.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.